This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
It says yes.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Computer says no.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Seriously, again, and we're back. This is The Scoop, Episode 9. I'm Billy Strutter. Welcome back. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been podcasting or on the air. Do I say on the air? I don't know.
We can go with on the air.
We'll go with on the air. And hi, person sticking their head in the door. We are coming from the Podcast Detroit studios, and I am joined by Kate.
Hello.
How are you, Kate?
Pretty good. Well rested after my vacation. How are you?
Yeah, it's good to be back. I mean, 2 weeks off was really nice, and I don't actually know what I did with myself, but it's certainly nice to be back.
Well, you had 2 weeks off. I yes. had 4 days.
All right. Well, fair enough. We are, should we even talk about the Lions? Did you watch the game yesterday?
I watched part of it. I was at work, so I missed like the last half, but the first quarter looked really great.
They looked solid the first quarter.
I was so impressed, and then like it got decreasingly more and more depressing.
In typical Lions fashion, last week when I was watching the game, which they ended up winning, there was a hashtag for SOL, and I'm like, what? SOL? And it took me forever to just figure out what it was.
Means.
What does it mean?
I'm not allowed to swear.
All right. What it means on Twitter was same old Lions.
Oh.
Right? Because for years, they've just been horrible. Just always finding new ways, new and creative ways to lose. But that is not what this podcast is about. So we're going to talk a little bit about social media, because I guess it is kind of a social media podcast.
I mean, yeah, right, technically.
Yeah, so coming back, we thought it would be nice to go without a guest and just talk a little bit about what we saw this week in social media. So one of the new things, Facebook is rolling out a new custom ad targeting option. That was a mouthful. And so if you are advertising on Facebook, there is this really cool thing called Canvas. And that was something that Facebook had introduced about maybe it was earlier this year. So I'm going to say maybe 7 months ago. But the ads are a lot more interactive. Have you seen any of those? Have you ever seen a Canvas ad?
A couple. Never really bothered to spend an allotted amount of time on them. But I have seen them pop up here and there probably just over the last few months.
Fair enough. Well, the idea behind them is that marketers will be able to use multimedia stories. So it's a combination of text, links, images, video, all of the call to action buttons that you can dream of, and product feeds. And the idea is that you're bringing your brand story to life. But the cool thing that Facebook rolled out is the ability for you to be able to retarget people based on whether or not they interacted with that ad, as if retargeting wasn't annoying enough, like the sweater that I was looking at, and it's not even cold enough for a sweater yet, that continues to follow me around the internet. But, you know, hey.
I mean, at least it's when it's targeted, you're more likely to come across things that interest you, at least. It doesn't make it that much better, but it does help a little bit.
The one thing that people say to me over and over again when we're talking about, like, the idea of retargeting, because they're like, hey, what do you do? Like, well, the easiest way to explain it to you, if you've ever had those ads follow you around the internet, that is, that's what we do. And they're like, that's really creepy. And I, you know,
it is a little stalkerish. If you
maybe
think about
you
it.
Know what we could say that it's stalkerish for sure. But the idea that I'd say to them is, look, you can either have an ad that is not relevant to you, or we can just show you the things that you've already raised your hand and said that you're interested in. It's a more customized experience on the interwebs. Are you Snapchatting?
Yeah, I am.
You are Snapchatting.
I'm Snapchatting.
Well, that segues right into the next thing that I wanted to talk about. I mean, we've talked about ads in Snapchat on the show before, and it appears that Snapchat is going all in with ads. And so they're rolling out three new ad targeting options. And so the idea behind that is that brands will be able to take people's email addresses and any sort of unique advertising identifier that's attached to your phone and then be able to target you with specific offers.
Okay, now that's getting creepy.
Are we going a little too far? Is it a little too far?
Don't go inside my phone.
Well, you know, there's a company out of England that is using NFC. So the idea of near field communication to talk to your phone as you're walking towards it so that they can show you relevant offers of stores that you might be interested in. So let's say that you're walking by DSW or you're driving by DSW. Now, they probably won't do it while you're driving because that wouldn't be very safe to ping you with an offer while you're driving your car. So we're going to say as you're walking by DSW, it's going to pop up and show you the last pair of shoes that you looked at on your computer at home, on your phone. I know, mind blown, right?
That's still slightly significantly creepy.
Yeah, it's at what point is it too much?
I feel like it's too much when it's actually invading what you're doing aside from that website. Like, if it's going in, it's got to be looking through other sources of stuff you use. And that means it's accessing other things not even related to just that app to do research on you. And I feel like that's a little bit too invasive. And that's how people's information gets stolen.
Is that just the world? It seems like that's the world that we just live in today where people, you know, there's usually some hoopla about terms of service changing when it comes to Facebook or, you know, someone every once in a while you'll see people saying you need to delete this app off of your phone because of all the permissions that it asked for. But the truth is that's where we're headed. And when you look at Facebook, if you're logged into Facebook but you're not, but let's say the tab isn't open, they're still tracking how you're using the internet and what sites that you're visiting. Same thing goes for Twitter. And while certainly you can opt out of it on some platforms, that is the idea of them being able to use your information so that they can sell that to advertisers. Super, super creepy. And I don't know if that is ever going to come to an end. It's just going to get worse. Sorry, Kate.
Well, that's scary. Hey, I did do something. Just because I feel like you gave me a hard enough time about it, I finally started attempting to use my Twitter more.
I saw that.
I can't say that I like it, but I am trying and putting in an effort to use it. I still hate it.
Why do you hate Twitter so much?
It's so hard to follow, like, an actual conversation. It's impossible to follow. It's not like Facebook, like, here's the main topic, here's the conversation.
Right.
It's literally like you have to go like back through things or you're missing pieces and it's not clean. I just feel like it's way too scatterbrained and a bit hectic and a mess. I'm just not really comfortable with it, but I'm going to keep trying to use it. I figure I'll give it maybe another month or two, and if I hate it, I hate it, and at least I can say I tried.
Well, that's thank you for trying, and I'm sure Twitter appreciates you giving it another go as they've continued to struggle to keep users, because that's the exact complaint that they have, is we don't really understand how to use it, because Facebook makes sense because everything's sort of threaded out, whereas it feels like with Twitter you're just throwing things out and it's gone. But there has to be a time for that. I mean, especially like when all of a sudden I was active again on Twitter was when I was watching the Lions game, because I could at least lament with all of the other people that were really, really upset and unhappy about the way that the Lions were playing. But speaking of Twitter, they are doing something really cool. So we had talked about the idea that Twitter, would be rolling out where you could put photos or GIFs, whatever it is, and that used to go towards your 150 character limit. And now you don't have to worry about that. So you can post photos to your heart's content and still use all 140 characters in emojis and stuff.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's interesting, because usually when you use an emoji, like one emoji takes, depending on what device you're using, a lot of characters.
It does. And I, you know what? I am going to say that when I read that, I was reading that, and I'm like, that's a really good idea to be able to, you know, because that was always the struggle with Twitter, is that you only had 140 characters to work with. And it makes it, you have to get really creative. And sometimes you remove spaces or you change the spelling of words. But that, to me, was part of what made Twitter fun. If one can say that Twitter was fun.
I was going to say, define fun. I'm trying to get used to it. Like, maybe I'll get the hang of it. But for the most part, I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah, it's just a no. All right. Well, what about customer service? I mean, have you ever thought about using Twitter for customer service?
I could see that if you, like, take direct tweets and everything. Because it notifies you if someone, like, tweets you directly. Right. Or if someone comments on something, you can reply to it easily enough. But the thing is I see that only being good on a smaller scale. If you take that to a larger scale and you're like, I had a conversation with this person, but I don't know what the last 5 tweets were about, and now I don't remember what we're talking about, right. I feel like it could eventually not work out in your favor.
That's why you slide into the DMs. Yeah, I said it.
Okay.
So Twitter just rolled out. So they just added new customer support details for businesses. And so Twitter's always been one of those places where people have gone to complain about something, where whether it was a delayed flight or pizza not being delivered on time, or just whatever issue they may be having. It's a lot faster for them to go to Twitter and tag, you know, in at mention whatever brand it is that they're having an issue with. And so this, to me, is a great opportunity for Twitter to expand their value. And so the nice thing about this is that Twitter's trying to help users identify which companies are providing customer service on Twitter. And then you can do things like you can display your hours of availability so that you're setting expectations. And then you also have a more prominent button to start a direct message. So like the complaint that you were having, Kate, where you were like, hey, it's kind of hard to track and follow. That's why, you know, most brands are trying to get you into a direct message, because then that's something that they can track and then that they can forward on to a internal customer service department.
All right. I'll let that slide.
All right. Fair enough.
I can accept that, but...
Yeah, so the other thing going on is Pinterest added a promote button to pins. So, like, similar to what you had with Facebook. So if you're a brand and you're on Facebook, one of the things that you saw on a regular basis was a little blue button for boosting posts. And now the same thing is coming to Pinterest to allow businesses to quickly, you know, set up a promoted pin. Now, the downside that I see with that is, you know, what does that mean for targeting options? You know, because when you look at, you have so many more options within Facebook if you're using, say, like the, like Ad Manager versus just boosting.
You can pick exactly which audience you want to project your ad to.
Right.
I wonder, does it mention if Pinterest is going to have the same options or if it's going to go along the lines of what genre people are interested in? I'm curious to see as to how they're going to do that, because I consider Pinterest almost more of a blog
type
website. Just the way it is, where it's, you know, you go through, you save photos, you can share things you're interested in. It's, to me, I foresee it as more of a blog type setting. So I'm a little curious as to how that's going to work.
Yeah, well, they have an 11-page guide on how to make the most out of Pinterest.
Who's going to read that?
You read it, didn't you? I did not read it.
I was going to say, you read it.
I, I scan the headlines, and a lot of that's really good information if you're new to Pinterest and you're trying to figure out how to use it for business, you know, because it talks about things about like the vertical aspect ratio, like the ideal size of a pen. Do you know the ideal size of an image for a pen? That's all right. I'm going to tell you, but okay. I just figured I'd ask.
You can just tell me.
All right.
I didn't sign up for a pop quiz.
No, I know. It's 600 by 900. And so, you know, we've certainly tested some promoted pens. And, you know, it's one of those places where, you know, people post their hopes and their dreams, their quotes, or the things that they would love to do if they had the time. You know, one of the great things that have come out
of
Pinterest.
Makes it kind of like a blog.
Kind of like a blog. All right. So I will give you that.
You see what I'm saying.
I see what you're saying.
It has similar blog aspects.
Absolutely. The really funny thing, though, that has come out of Pinterest, though, is the have you ever seen the Pinterest fails where people attempt to.
Yes. Actually, on YouTube, I spend a lot of time, like, if I can't sleep or if I'm stuck at work and I'm really bored, I'll put on some of those Pinterest fails just because they're pretty entertaining to watch.
They are. Like, it's funny how someone will, you know, you have this. To me, it's, one, who had the time to make it as perfect as they did? And then, but just to see that people attempted it, it didn't even come close.
Well, I got to think, the thing about Pinterest is there's people that are finding these projects, and they're just writing out theories of how they think it works. And then people are reading that like, oh, I'm going to try this. And it fails miserably.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's fantastic.
Have you ever tried anything on Pinterest?
I have made a face mask from Pinterest, but it was only 2 ingredients, so I felt like there was no chance I'd fail that, and I succeeded. So pretty proud of myself. My mother, however, is really into crafting, and she's done tons of the Pinterest stuff, and she's always looking for, like, new things to try. I think she already has, like, the secret album of Pinterest, like, wedding ideas in case I ever get married. Like,
has she shared it with
she's
you?
She's crazy.
But she hasn't shared it
she's
with you.
She's mentioned, like, she'll randomly send me something. She'll be like, how cute do you think that is?
Yeah.
I'm like, please stop.
Stop it. So you know that there's a random secret board somewhere of
that
Kate
is
gets
Kate's
married.
Wedding.
Yes.
Just in
Fair
case
enough.
Kate ever gets married.
Well, I, you know, this one time, not at band camp, I attempted to build, you know, so there was this big thing for a while, and I don't know if people are still into it, but pallets, you know, the idea that you could build something out of a pallet, whether it's a bench or a...
We have a pallet shelf that we use basically as like a liquor shelf because it's the perfect size to fit in liquor bottles at our house. You've seen it. It's hanging up in the kitchen.
So the thing that I think is, yeah. So what I ended up making out of that was I made a picnic table. I don't know if you'd really call it a picnic table because it doesn't have benches. But we had
made a table.
I made a table. so I spent a day and, you know, had a bunch of pallets and started breaking them down and followed something that I found on Pinterest because it seemed like a really good idea. And I am not a person that generally works with my hands or builds things. I mean, if you want me to build a website, I can certainly do that. But if you want me to build a table, that's going to take a lot of thinking and preparation and a little bit of help. And I mean, it's still standing, which is great, but it does not look anything like what I saw.
Well, some of it takes practice too. A lot of that stuff is probably made by someone who's had a lot of practice and put a lot of time into it. And a lot of people are like, this is my first try. Let's do this. Some of it, a lot of it is trial and error, and a lot of it is skill. And a lot of the people trying some of these pins out for the first time just have no skills or no prior experience, so they don't fully know what they're doing. Like, my dad's really great with, like, woodworking and stuff like that, so he's actually made quite a few things out of pallets and all that stuff successfully, but some of it is really trial and error.
It is trial and error.
You can't always expect to get everything right on your first time, especially, like, some people, if you've never used a power tool before, good luck.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you want to be careful with that, because, I mean, fingers and stuff. But I didn't realize how many I didn't have all the tools I needed to do that. So certainly a learning experience. next time I'll just figure out what website
I can. Steak knife, trying to cut through the wood.
You know what? I was smarter than that. I did have some power tools, so it was great. I want to talk about LinkedIn. Do you use LinkedIn?
Personally, for myself, I don't use LinkedIn a whole lot. However, through work, through GoToPro, there are quite a few businesses that I kind of help out manage some of their social media, and then we do our own, too. So I do interact with LinkedIn quite a bit.
Have you guys ever done any advertising on LinkedIn?
No.
Well, because this leads into, I'm trying to do a transition to
segue.
Yes, that's my horrible
segue.
Or
some people mispronounce Segu.
Segu. That's it. LinkedIn. LinkedIn launched a conversion tracking, which is really, when you're running ads on LinkedIn, it's hard to tell whether or not you're really getting any traction because you get people who will like something, they'll comment on it, but they're not always clicking through because that's not always where, some people are going to LinkedIn to look for a job, right?
Pretty much.
But the cool thing about this now is that you have the ability to put a pixel on your website so that you can then track conversions so that then you can go back to whoever your boss is to say, this is the value that we got out of the advertising that we did on LinkedIn.
Which is nice because a lot of places where you do the advertisement, you can't keep track besides a simple, you can look at it, you can look at the physical advertisement and see who has liked it or commented on it and try to figure out how many people have shared it. Other than that, that's all the information you get. Or you can see how many people have scrolled past it, but you don't know how many people have actually interacted with
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. And some of those numbers they don't always make sense, right? So when you're looking at your social impressions, so that's the likelihood that someone, it showed up in their feed, but it doesn't mean that they actually engaged with it or they did anything with it.
Yeah. It doesn't right? count if you just scroll past it and don't even read it.
That's true.
That shouldn't count.
You need thumb stoppers. I call them thumb stoppers because, right?
I get it's, you.
Okay.
I got exactly
just in case they didn't know, the people that are listening didn't know what that means.
It's when you're scrolling through
right.
and you see something, so you use your thumb to stop scrolling to look at it.
Well done. Well
I
done.
Got it.
I know. This is a cool feature. I want to go back to Facebook. I think you'll really like this because the nice thing that we found with Facebook is that if you post videos directly to Facebook versus grabbing a link, so a lot of people will grab a link from YouTube and they'll post that onto Facebook and then they'll share that. Well, Facebook recently granted publishers the ability to cross-post videos on Facebook to pages under the same business manager account. So if you're, let's say you're managing the page for GoToPro, you share a video, and under the Facebook Business Manager, there's another page that you manage. You can now share those videos in between whatever pages you have within your Business Manager, which is a really cool way of being able to simplify the process and getting your messages spread. I can tell that you're super, super excited about that.
Thrilled.
Yeah. So, overall, I think it's there's some really cool things that are happening. I don't know how I feel. Actually, I do know how I feel about Snapchat and all of the advertisers. It changes the experience. And you're already getting that right now when you're using Snapchat. And you're like, I've seen this video like 10 times already. I'm done.
I do have one request about Snapchat's ads. If they could just turn the volume down on them just a little bit. I don't know what it is, but whoever is in charge of that seems to record that background music that they have, and it's always upbeat, and it's so loud. It is recorded way too high, and every time it goes on, it yells at you and like almost startles you.
I think that's on purpose.
I could do without that. It probably is on purpose, but they should not do that. It's really startling.
Yeah. Well, they are removing something.
Especially if you have headphones in.
Yeah, if you have headphones on, then it just hurts. Right? And it's like when you're trying to stream TV and you're and the commercials come on, they're so much louder. And it's awful. It's an awful experience. But that I do listen
is,
to that.
That is honestly one of the worst things, though, is I get it. It's so you want to pay more attention to the ad. Like, it draws up your attention. But at the same time, I feel like you could do it a little more subtle than that.
Yeah.
There should be a limitation.
Well, this is a sad thing, though. I mean, they're not removing that, but they are removing local stories. Do you know what the local stories are? Like,
I
the idea,
do.
like if, you know, you use the Detroit. So if you're in Detroit, then they would gather stories around, you know, people sharing in Detroit. Or if you're
it's
in Sterling
like
Heights,
what they
right?
do for, like, the certain events. Only
right.
they do it for certain areas.
For certain cities, right. And so what they found is that it just wasn't as popular as other features, like you had mentioned. Like, if you were doing 4th of July or
well, you
the Detroit
figure,
Lions
if you're
game.
At events, you're out, you're having fun, you have no problem sharing that with people. Maybe sometime you're out and you're just in the city and you're just, you have stuff to do. You don't want to share everything that's going on. It's not like you're out celebrating an event or partying or partaking in some kind of charity or something. It's more of just your everyday life. And it's probably just going to be people drinking at bars. And not everyone needs to share that or probably feels the need to share that with who knows.
I hear you. Well, ahoy, Métis. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It's going somewhere.
I just had pirate bar flashbacks.
Yeah. The talk like a pirate, get free Krispy Kreme donuts today. For reals.
What?
So I need
where
to figure
you,
out.
Where can you get Krispy Kreme donuts besides 7-Eleven?
There is
7-11?
A Krispy Kreme in Troy at 14 in between 75 and Jenner.
I'm glad you explained that because I had no idea exactly where Troy was.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm trying to explain
no,
where.
No, I literally have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know where,
oh,
like,
you really don't? Okay. So if, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, Troy's
it's
in that
like
general area.
75.
But
okay.
The Krispy Kreme that you seek is at 14 and 75.
I would like to go there right now. Did you know that the other day was 7-Eleven. It was buy one, get one free Slurpee day.
I did not know that.
I didn't know until the last night of it, and I showed up at 11 o'clock at night, and I got a Slurpee, and she's like, oh, did you want another one? They're buy one, get one free, and I'm like, yeah, and she's like, it ends tonight at midnight, though, and I'm like, I'm super depressed. I only got one round
right.
in. Like, I would have went six times.
But what do you, I mean, how do you keep the slushy from melting so that you can enjoy your buy one, get one?
You drink it really fast, and you can honestly put one in the freezer for like an hour, and it's fine. Or you can share with a friend.
That's true. That's a nice way to do it. I mean, have you ever gone when you get to do bring any mug in?
That's my favorite day.
Everyone loves that day. I always try to figure out how to get creative with it. And
I don't
usually
when they
end up
have
taking
the
like
sign
a measuring
where it's
cup.
Like must fit through the sign. I always go for like a pitcher.
Yeah.
Like a Kool-Aid pitcher?
Yeah, no. Now, last time I went, I took one of those big glass measuring cups. Because I'm like, what's the most obnoxious thing that I... And that's the most obnoxious thing that I had. I couldn't think of anything else to take with me.
I have a 64-ounce mug. Sometimes I'll take that. But it's not as pleasing as, like, a pitcher. It doesn't hold as much.
Yeah. Do you... How much do you use Instagram as compared to, like, I don't know, Snapchat, Facebook? Is it one of your go-to, or is it...
Instagram, I use maybe once or twice a week to post myself. I do like going through it because I have some family on there, so I can keep up with everyone. But I probably use Facebook the most, Snapchat the second most, and then Instagram would be third.
So what is it about Snapchat that you prefer over Instagram?
I just like it that it's direct content with your friends. It can be funny pictures, like something funny happens. Because you know how Facebook works, is things get buried in newsfeed now, so it's actually harder for your post to get seen by your friends. If you have them, you can send it directly to them and make sure that they see it. Or it's... I don't know. I enjoy the personalization you have a Snapchat where you can send something directly or you can just post something. If people feel free to check it out, they can. But I like the fact that it's you can send something directly. Like, I guess you could do it through like Messenger, but sometimes you don't want to have a conversation. Sometimes you just want to send a funny picture.
Right. and it doesn't, and you don't need to see, remember that you sent that funny picture. It's...
Yeah, or, you know, maybe it's something like a funny face that you don't want someone to save forever.
Right.
You just send it to them in
just,
10
it's
seconds.
It's more in the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more in the moment, and the fact that you can send it directly and ensure that someone will see it is, I like it a lot better than just, like, there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things that you like.
That are really funny that I don't even post on Facebook. I just put it on Snapchat.
Well, I have a funny story that I'll share with you before we take a break. A man was ticketed for speeding 88 miles per hour in a DeLorean. And he claims
was
that he
wasn't trying to go to
no,
the future?
No, he claimed he was not trying to time travel.
Just a speed demon? I didn't know those could actually go that fast.
They can go that fast.
I'm just kidding.
Well, if you have the right, I can't imagine that it's gasoline. I don't know if he was using gasoline or not, but
maybe he's using some like super fuel.
Yeah, and I think with that, we're gonna take a break.
Let's
be right back.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Yeah, we are back. This is episode 9 of The Scoop. I'm Billy Strotter, and I'm joined by Kate. We are guestless this week.
Yeah, we are.
Well, that's what happens when you go on vacation for a couple of weeks, and, you know, then you're like, hey, man, do you want to come on the... No, I don't want to come.
We all have our slacker days. It's fine.
I know.
No one can really judge us, right?
No, not at all. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Snapchat. So there's some more news related to Snapchat, and I seem to be obsessed with Snapchat, and that's all I talk about. But Snapchat may soon be your go-to destination for movie tickets.
Really?
Would you buy movie tickets on Snapchat?
I don't know. I usually buy movie tickets at the theater.
I know. Like, you know, there's all these ideas like Fandango. Is it Fandango? How do you pronounce that?
Fandango? I don't know. I've seen a lot of commercials for it, but I've never really paid that much attention.
I think I've purchased tickets on Fandango once, and I don't know why I purchased the tickets. But, I mean, the experience was great. I mean, like, we went in, we went up to the little kiosk, and then we used our card. But I don't really see why I would ever want to use Snapchat to buy tickets. That's not what I imagine Snapchat being used for.
I don't know. I wouldn't use it to purchase stuff at all. No, I don't foresee myself ever doing that. No.
You're just like, no.
That's not
happening.
I feel like you can already purchase the movie tickets from the actual websites. You can purchase them through apps. You can purchase them directly when you get there.
Do you,
See how Snapchat's, I don't know what they're doing.
And maybe that's just a sign that I'm aging out of the market as well. But you, do you have a Android or do you have iPhone?
I use Android.
So, did you hear anything about the iPhone 7 announcement?
I did watch it, and I saw it.
Yeah.
And, I think they're running out of ideas.
It certainly seems that way, doesn't it?
The biggest thing I've noticed is everyone's very upset about the lack of the headphone jack and the fact that you have to start using Bluetooth headphones.
Right.
I know why they did that is so people will start spending more money on the actual headphones. However, I personally don't like cordless headphones.
Why?
There's just this factor, like, I don't know what it is about my ears, but headphones always fall out. And then I have ear piercings, so, like, the ones that, like, clip behind the ear aren't always comfortable.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or they have a hard time staying placed. Like, with my industrial bar, it's just a pain. The headphones, they fall out. They without the cord there, it's... What I do is I switch the headphones around. I put the right one in my left ear and left one in my right ear, but I flip them around over my ear.
Ah, that's a good idea, so that they stay in.
And then with the weight of the cord, it stays, it weights it down, it keeps them in my ear, and then I also have the cord to keep them together and in one place.
Also very true.
And I don't like things around my neck, so like the Bluetooth ones that like sit around your neck.
Yeah, that's not your thing.
It's just something... It's a product I'm not comfortable using myself.
Yeah, I don't really see the point of it. I mean, you can certainly still make a phone that is waterproof or water resistant without getting rid of the, you know, without getting rid of the headphones. It's just very mind-boggling to me. But when it comes to the times that we find ourselves in, the thing that is really quite annoying is the amount of social media posts related to this election. Every time I log into Facebook, it's everywhere, whether you're on Twitter, Facebook, you don't see it on Snapchat or even Instagram, but certainly Facebook and Twitter are where the talking heads like to post about, this is why you shouldn't vote for Hillary.
Talking heads, the band? I'm kidding. Yeah. it's only going to get worse the closer and closer to this election, and then the month after it's just going to be chaotic. Either way I look at it, we're probably in for some trouble.
Yeah.
No matter what it is at this point, I feel like that's how it's been. Like, these are your options. Choose wisely. Possibly the lesser evil.
Yeah.
But there's so many people that get involved in it that don't actually that shouldn't be qualified to make a decision like that. Like, I get it. It's everyone's freedom to vote. They should have a say. However, I feel like before you have that, you should pass a certain exam that states like you understand what both parties actually represent, what both parties are saying, their plans, their views on things. Like, you should be aware of exactly what you're voting and supporting. And there's a lot of people that just don't know. I hate to say this, but they're ignorant.
Yeah, but doesn't that put us, take away, by having those prerequisites for people to vote. I mean, that's part of the wonderful thing about this country is that, there are lots of people who fought for the right to vote. And it's certainly sad that we have people who have put their lives on the line for us to have the ability to vote, whether it's men, women, black, Latino. And yet we take it for granted, right? We're just like, I don't want to vote
for granted, but it's not so much as I'm saying they don't have a right to vote. It's just, I feel like if they're going to vote, they should make sure that they have an understanding of exactly what and who they're voting for. My thing is there's so many people, they see little bits and pieces that could be misleading information, wrong information, and they're latching onto it. And I feel like a lot of the votes that might be placed could be misguided by this information, because that's how social media is.
Right.
It's everyone's opinion.
And we see
not
that,
everyone knows the actual effects. They only know everyone else's opinion.
Yeah, and you see that all the time on social media, especially Facebook. I'm amazed at the number of posts that are shared that are from sites where, people could easily do fact checking to find out that this isn't a true story.
Exactly.
But they post it as it's fact, and you wonder,
and there's people
did you
that
even
see
read that,
that and actually believe it. And that's why I feel like there's going to be a lot of people voting who just don't have the correct facts, and that could lead them to making the wrong decision. They could find out, I'm voting for this person who stands for everything I actually personally don't believe in and am against.
But I didn't know that because I just
read
all
the... But I had no idea because I just read everyone else's opinions and all these misleading articles, so I actually have no idea. So I'm going in and I'm making the wrong decision based upon misleading information. And I just foresee that being, especially with social media the way it is, I foresee that being a bigger and bigger problem.
I agree. And I'm trying to find it right now. There was a friend of mine that shared an article that said, these are the sites that you should not be sharing content from. And I wish I could find it, because it was really kind of a nice educational piece for people to realize that, you know, these sites are not, they're spreading misinformation. But I wonder how many people actually read that article.
There is one thing people should keep in mind. Yes, internet, social media, it makes it easy to find information. However, it also makes it just as easy to find false information as it is to find correct information. And not everyone sits there and spends the time like, I'm going to fact check this. I'm going to go in, I'm going to do my actual research. And even if they do that, they're going to do the research where? The internet, where they also got the false information. Right. There's no way to filter through 110% to make sure that you are getting nothing but the truth and factual information. It's a mess. And a lot of people, I feel, have been misled and misguided by so much that is out there that I feel like they're not fully aware of what someone actually stands for. And this is the same thing for not even just the election, for a number of situations. That's just how it is. And it's kind of a sad fact.
Right.
Like, it's honestly terrifying to think that some of that information's out there, and looking at it, you know it's wrong, but you know someone out there is going to believe it.
Well, so the title of this article, I was able to find it, is it's titled, Please Stop Sharing Links to These Sites. And the idea, and this is written from, a liberal side, liberal point of view, but it's certainly educational in helping people understand that, you know, these sites, whether it's Occupy Democrats or it's Newslow, there's another one called Politicalo. And so, like, Politicalo is, and what they're saying is that almost anything that ends on LO, that these sites specialize in taking accurate statements from politicians and then adding false quotes to them that are much worse than what they actually said.
It's the same thing with media, is they can nitpick out bits and pieces that might not even be like the first part of a sentence sounds bad, but they cut out the conclusion of the sentence, which overall the statement wasn't bad. It was something positive, or it could have been something really informative, or it could have been a very true comment on a terrible situation. But there's a lot of people that can just cut that part out, and you can turn just about anything into something negative if you wanted.
Very true.
And also, you got to figure, people have imaginations. They can make up something, and even it could sound incredibly true and be completely fake.
I think we found what Kate is passionate about. So, I mean, it's like I said, the great thing about social media is that it allows us to connect with one another, for me to see what's going on with my nephews in other parts of the country. But at the same time, it also gives everyone a platform and a voice to share misinformation. And quite a few people don't take the time to verify the information that they're sharing. So that's certainly a danger and a downside. And I would encourage people to make sure that they do take the time to fact check, because there's nothing, it's so important considering where we are today and with an election right around the corner, to make sure that that the information that we're sharing and spreading is accurate.
Exactly. I mean, it's the same way as, think back in like school, like someone would say a rumor about you, like, oh, this person's pregnant or something crazy like that. And what if it was about you and you know for a fact it's not true,
but it becomes fact.
But just it's a rumor someone will spread that and people will believe it. It's the same thing with pretty much anything. Anything could be just like that. It's made up, it's a rumor, it's not true, but people will believe it if they want to. It's, you definitely need to spend the time to fact check, research. It honestly doesn't even take that much time.
No, not really at all. It's just a simple Google search. So now that we've completely taken this show and made it depressing, then I think I should finish it on the fact that, you know, people have heard about this, but it's even becoming more prevalent today, is that employers are now stalking your Facebook to determine whether or not they're going to hire you. And so there's a startup that actually helps them do this. And so the way that it works is that a shortlisted job candidate receives an email with like a unique identifier, right? So like it's a link that you have to click on. And then so you essentially you connect your Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter account to this platform. And then it goes through. It has an algorithm that analyzes your social footprint, and it takes about 30 seconds to do so. And then within 24 hours, the candidate, the job candidate, and the client, the employer, will get the resulting report. So it'll talk about like the frequency in which you post on Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. It will talk about your social index, whether it's high, if you're influential, how many connections you have, what time of day you post, what day of the week you post. It will look at your career history, and then it'll even have like a cloud of the frequently used words that you have. And so can you imagine like the idea of like my job prospects are tied to my social media presence?
That's... I don't like that.
Yeah, it's super scary, right? But that's more and more of the world that we live in.
But it's the same thing as if it's looking at your overall history, is maybe that's not accurate. Like, if you would look at mine, like, I was just in college 3 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I was in high school.
Delete it.
I feel like that would be delete, so
delete,
much
delete, delete.
I just feel like... people shouldn't be judged based on their overall history. I would say maybe look over like within the past span of a few years.
Yeah, so like their professional.
But if you do like your overall, like if you look back even 5, 6 years ago, I'm in high school. I'm doing who knows what.
Well, we talked about that a few weeks ago. There was a young lady who was Miss something, and I can't remember if it was Miss USA or Miss Teen USA.
Miss Teen USA.
Yeah, and she had been dropping some N-bombs, but but that was in high school. So the moral of this story is make sure that you fact check all of your political sources and that you are careful with the things that you post on social media because your job may depend on it. I'm Billy Strutter. This is Kate running the board. And until next time, we'll see you for episode 10.
This is a previously recorded episode.